out to me a couple of weeks ago and asked me what I bring today's message, and it's hard to say no to Domingo. We've been working together for quite a period of time, so I appreciate the opportunity. I think many times the person who speaks from time to time is almost like the backup quarterback. Everybody loves the backup quarterback, right? Until they get on the field, and they're not playing as well as the number one quarterback, you start getting those boos and those jeers. Sit back down, bring back Donovan McNabb, right? I'm going to advance can you have my slides back there, boy? Are they? Oh, I have my clicker. Oh, I have complete control. Excellent. All right. Today's sermon, I've kind of titled Watch What You Say, and I'm hoping that it will resonate with you all. We're going to take our scripture text from Luke chapter 12 and verse 10, as well as Matthew chapter 12 and verse 31. And it reads as follows, Luke 12, "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." Let's widen that text in Matthew 12, 31. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the one to come." Let me put my glasses on. Now I can read the screen a little bit better. Let's provide a little context to Jesus' response here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 10 and Matthew chapter 12 and 31. Most of us know the story that led up to Jesus speaking about blasphemy and speaking about himself. Jesus was about his business, doing what the Son of Man does. He was healing the sick. He was removing leprosy from those that was ill. He was doing those things that God would have him to do. And on one occasion, he was casting out demons and those that had demonic spirits. And what was interesting, those that was observing said, "Isn't this the Son of David?" But then here comes the Pharisees. If you know anything about the Pharisees were historians. They knew the law. And what did they do? They castrated Jesus by saying, "You cast out demons by the name of Beelzebub." Have you ever been somewhere or been with somebody and someone said something that stopped you in your tracks? Have anybody ever said something to you that said, wait a minute, what did you just say to me? I'm going to pick on my wife for a little bit. My wife's a school teacher of 28 years, and she's been teaching that's a long time, Brother Moore, been teaching. Not as long as a gentleman we saw on TV that was teaching 43 years. I asked my wife, "You're going to 43 years?" She looked at me sideways. Said, "No." But every now and then, she'll come back home fired up because one of the kids have said something that may have triggered her. All the other things, the 95 things that may have been said before in the past, you just kind of let it wipe off your shoulders and let the sweat drip down your eyebrows. But every now and then, you may say something that's triggering. I can have a conversation with somebody about Marvel. My kids love Marvel. We can argue about who's the greatest of the Marvel. And some people will stop in their tracks and say, "What did you just say?" We talk about this in sports all the time. Who's the greatest NBA player? Who's the greatest NFL player? And if somebody says something, someone stop in their tracks. But can you imagine when Jesus was casting out these devils? And the Pharisees had the audacity to come to him and say, "Wait a minute, you only cast out these devils in the name of Beelzebub." And if you look at the definition, it's the prince of demons. Jesus thought, wait a minute, what did you say? And then Jesus continued on to say, whoever speaks a word against me will be forgiven. And I'm going to break that down why that is. But when you speak a word against God, that will not be forgiven. And so I went through the scripture to try to better understand this. And the reason why I chose this text, because it was unclear to me. And I'm going to try to make it a little clearer to us. And if I don't do a good job, just let me know. We'll figure it out together. But when I read back in 2 Kings, and I read about King Ahaziah. King Ahaziah, yes. King Ahaziah had sent some of his messengers to go to what was called the god of Ekron, Baalzebub, B-A-A-L. And before his messengers can reach Ekron, Elijah sent the message back to King Ahaziah and said, a message from God that you will die. And those messengers died a fiery death, as well as King Ahaziah. And one thing we know about the Old Testament is that we serve a jealous God. And when God saw anything that was being erected, that was still in the preeminence from him, God had a fiery response to that. When you're going to equate God of all hosts to Beelzebub in the Old Testament, which God sent down his fiery consequences upon them, and then you're going to equate that to the works of Jesus Christ, the power that was being manifested into him, that was utterly disrespectful. The Pharisees knew the law. They knew exactly what they were saying. They knew exactly what they were doing. And what they were essentially was telling Jesus, and they said this the entire time, Jesus knew he was a stumbling block. Jesus was on high and came into the flesh of man. And it was very difficult for the Pharisees, and we can throw the Sadducees second to there as well. They had a difficult time understanding that. They already called Jesus a spiritual imposter. And Jesus said, you know what? I get that. I am in the flesh. I'm a man just like you are, but I have deity. They didn't respect his deity. But when they said something about his daddy, we see a couple times in the scripture where Jesus get upset. We see when they turned the marketplace, when they turned God's house into a marketplace. But when those Pharisees said, you cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that stopped Jesus in his track. Jesus said, what did you say? He said, if you want to talk about me, that'll be forgiven. And many of us have that same sentiment. You want to say something about me? Leave my kids alone. That used to hold true in politics, not anymore. Families was out of it, not anymore. I'm not going to go there. But if you want to say something about me, you can't say nothing about my dog. If you want to say something about me, you can't say anything about my wife. That's what Jesus was saying. You want to talk about me? I get it. I understand that I'm a barrier to you. But when you talk about my daddy, when you talk about Father, which is in heaven, that's blasphemy. Come with me. Let's talk a little bit more about this. Jesus, we understand the deity of Jesus. Those of us that share this faith and understand this faith, realize that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We don't have access to the Father without Jesus. If Jesus hadn't gone to the cross, we would be men most miserable. We'll be sitting here for naught, because there would be no way for us to enter into the kingdom of God. So we know from these scriptures that Jesus was a prophet, a priest, and a king. He occupied those spaces, and he was the only one to occupy those spaces at one time. But what was the relationship between a prophet, priest, and a king here on earth? Was flesh. It was men. We've had several kings. We had King David. I haven't mentioned King Ahaziah. We know who other prophets are. We spoke about that. We got the minor prophets. We have the major prophets. We have the priests. We understand that from the lineage of Aaron, the brother of Moses. But we recognize that occupying those three spaces is flesh, is men. No difference than we occupying being a bishop or being an elder or being an evangelist. This is still flesh and this is still blood. Then we also recognize that Jesus was a man. John 1:14, Philippians 2:6-8. The Bible tells us that he counted robbery to be equal with God. He came into the flesh. He didn't have to, but he did in order to become the ultimate sacrifice for you and for I. But the flesh is limited by time and space. So when Jesus came from the heavens and was manifested just like we were into the flesh, he lowered himself. We have to understand the flesh doesn't enter the kingdom of heaven. Paul said he had thorns in his flesh. We recognize that the flesh is deceitful. The flesh sometimes is hard to keep the flesh under control because of the desires of this flesh. But Jesus gave us an example. Without sin, he walked the walk and he talked the talk. But being limited by time and space, God isn't limited by time and in space. Let's review Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with the glory and honor that he may by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He was made a little lower than the angels. The angels are spirit. He did that so he can suffer death for us. He received honor and glory so that he would taste death for us. So those that believe in Jesus and that has obeyed the gospel will not see death. And I'm talking about the death of the flesh. We have to die in this flesh in order for the spirit to be removed. I'm talking about the second death. And if you want to talk about the second death, that's not part of this sermon. But I'd be more than happy to have that dialogue and conversation. Or go to Brother George and Brother Mark. They understand. So Jesus recognized that he was made a little lower than angels. We are lower than the angels because we are in the flesh. This flesh cannot be occupied. This flesh cannot move about with the spirit. The Bible tells us that when we put off this tabernacle, our spirit returns back to God. And it just remained as flesh. That means when we are buried, we become back to our original state with nothing more than dirt that God formed us. So Jesus was saying that if you blaspheme against me, it will be forgiven because I make myself lower than the angels. And because I'm in the flesh, I am a barrier to all of you because you can't conceive that God came on from high and was manifested into the flesh. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had a difficult time with that. And in fact, they hurled insults at Jesus. When Jesus told them, I am, they said, that's blasphemy. You're lying. And if we think about it, they didn't know how God. They read about the scriptures, but they didn't understand how Jesus would enter into this world. They thought it was going to enter in a different way. He entered through a miraculous birth. And when they asked what Jesus' name is going to be, no one asked. The angel told them. And his name will be Jesus. Name above all. Look, no one came. And Mary and Joseph didn't say, we're going to name, That was the name who gave him? His father. The name above all names. So when Jesus is saying that sin will be forgiven against me, I think that's a message for us. Sometimes we may get into a battle and get into an argument about who Jesus is. And we get into nasty fights. We see all of these things happen all the time. I was in a meeting one time, and I was finishing my master's or my doctorate degree. I remember one gentleman said all these, what he called Jesus freaks. Need to quiet down. It does invoke some emotion in you sometimes, because we understand what Jesus have done for us. And he can do it for you if you receive him. But we have to understand, Jesus said, I'm going to forgive you. But he said, the Father would not be forgiven. So even if someone doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's the Christ, maybe he was a mere man in there. Some religions say he was a prophet, he was a good person. Yeah, he might have been a priest. Yeah, he might have been a king. But he wasn't the Son of God. We understand that every knee shall confess and every knee will bow, whether we do it now or later. Every knee will. So that should bring us some solitude. Let Jesus take that fight for us. But let's understand why Jesus responded the way he responded when it came to his daddy. Because if someone says that I'm an atheist, I don't even believe that the air I breathe, the food that I eat, the wood that makes up my house, the cot that makes up my clothing, I don't even believe that no one exists. And here they are scrumptiously feeding on God's steak and wearing his GQ outfits that he made with cotton. But if someone says, I don't know about Jesus Christ, but I think there's a higher being. Wait a minute. I got a window of hope right there. That's a sliver. I believe that there's a higher being. Wait a minute. We can take them to the scriptures and involve their thinking. But when you have developed this callous heart that God does not exist, that God is not a creator of all and don't have that understanding, blasphemy. That's watch. Now, I know in some of the scriptures and some teachings that we understand that there is an inseparable oneness between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I'm trying to get us to be able to understand why Jesus responded the way that he responded. Romans 8:5-10 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Mark, this is one of your favorite scriptures. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Jesus recognized that the Pharisees would just focus on his flesh. How can God come and look like you and I? That was a barrier to them. They struggled with that. But then the scripture says, the Roman writer says, but those things after the Spirit, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when you're thinking spiritually minded, the Pharisees couldn't do that. They couldn't see the glory of God, power being manifested through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let's continue with this verse. For it to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So remember we talked about getting into this battle because somebody said something about your Jesus and invoked an emotion in you. We have to recognize that being carnal-minded is death, but we should be having peace and life manifested in us and our voices because of our understanding of the scripture. But let's go down to verse 7 because I believe this is going to sum it up. Because the carnal-minded is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Jesus recognized at that time the Pharisees were just carnal-minded. The Pharisees had seen everything that Jesus had done. And don't believe, and I believe, Brother Joyce, they probably had a spy on Jesus wherever Jesus went. They saw the miraculous sign of changing water to wine. They saw him healing the sick. They saw him, the man that was by Gerasenes. Am I pronouncing that right? And by Gerasenes, the Bible tells us that was a man that lived in a tomb, and he would cut himself every day. They could even bind this man with chains in his hands and his feet. Nobody could go in the tombs to come back out. They were afraid of this man. But what happened when Jesus got off the boat? The man ran to him and said, "Oh, son of man, are you here to torture us before our time?" I don't think we understand what's happening there. Let's think about this spiritually. When Jesus asked this demon that was possessing this man, "Well, who are you?" He said, "My name is Legion." That means many. But he recognized who Jesus was. "Oh, son of man, you're here to torture me?" That tells you that Jesus have all power and glory. And he has power over the devil. The devil was called the son of the morning star. Am I correct about that? He was an angel that was falling down to earth. Anybody that is called a son has been birthed by somebody. I have a son, DJ. He's been birthed by his mama. If the devil was once an angel, God is over all creation. Don't you expect that the devil will recognize who God is? So why is this man that was all cut up in a tombstone, ran over to Jesus, castrated himself? "Oh, son of man." Anyhow, Jesus cured the man. I believe that the spirits asked, well, I think they may have went into some swine, am I right? And then that swine went down a hill off the cliff to war. What happened to the man? Bible tells us he was clothed in his right mind. Even the devil knows who God is, trembles and in fear. That's why blasphemy against God is fearful. What is God? God is a spirit, and that they worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is no beginning. There is no ending. God is omnipotent, omnipotent. He's everywhere. His creation. We recognize that if we take the sun and we tilt it maybe about 1 or 2 degrees from the eyesight of man, we'll burn the earth up. And God tilted a little bit to the left, earth will freeze. Most of us have watches. And the watch is a beautiful thing. It helps to keep time. Brother Mark, stop looking at my wife. It's a gift from my wife. But there's a technician that creates the watch. The way that it ticks, the engine's on the inside of it. Some of them has echo boosts. Other it gets its energy from the sun. But nevertheless, there was a creator of that watch. Somebody was intentional. We have this glorious world, and we think that it just came about through some spontaneous combustion and some colliding of ant. Someone crafted the earth with their own hands. And the Bible tells us that God's spirit moved about. We cannot limit God by time and by place. And when we say to ourselves that God isn't who God is through his creation, oh my goodness, God have mercy on us. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. The power that Jesus had, the power that was being exercised in the scriptures, the power that Jesus used to cast out devils and to do all of his miraculous signs. The Bible tells us that all the things that Jesus got wasn't even recorded. You can't contain all the goodness of Jesus. But this same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, the power of God. And it's that same exact power that's going to raise us in those last days. If you and those that was in the scripture deny that this power exists, then how are you going to be raised from the dead? We have to be careful of what we say. Yes, we go through heartache in this world. We have loved ones to die. Accidents happen. We can't understand. I can't conceive it. Be careful that we don't curse God. God is the creator of all. God gave life. God will take life. God does things in our life many times to get our attention, and we don't necessarily know what's happening. But we have the belief that what God is doing is in our best interest because he's God and he is God all by himself. I wanted this to read in closing. I wanted to read this insert, and I thought this insert was very well. It says that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not a careless act committed only once in a moment of rage or rebellion, because we have those moments because we're human. But a callous attitude over time, a persistent defiance that hardens and calcifies the heart. That's what happened to the Pharisees. They couldn't receive that good seed. The Pharisees had been present with Jesus when he healed the sick. They saw him perform miracles up close and personal. They witnessed him raise the dead. They watched with their very eyes as skin-infected leprosy suddenly and decisively became clean and smooth and whole. They had heard him teach with power and authority. They watched as demons fled his presence. How do you see, observe, recognize all of those? But as soon as you got the opportunity, you say he does all of these things by Beelzebub. And Jesus rightfully so and said, guess what? Let's think about this. If the devil casts the devil out of his own house, how can his house stand? The devil's in the business of recruiting all the devils. Can you imagine if Brother Reyes have all these Christians and he keep pushing Christians out of the church? Then how the church is going to stand? So he asked him, he said, well, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, well, who do your children cast demons out by? Oh, they got them, that question. Jesus came in the flesh. They denounced his deity in the flesh. But when they talked about his daddy, you got God, Jesus' attention. We know that you cannot have access to God without having access to his son. With us understanding the goodness and severity of God, we persuade men. And when we think about what Jesus has done for us, we share that message. But we understand that there is a link between the Son and the Father. And that understanding that should give us a different mindset. When we're being carnal minded, it's very difficult. That was what was happening to the Pharisees. But when you're being spiritually minded, you understand what God does, and God does things in a big manner. When we look at the scriptures and we understand what God has done before the foundation of the world, we knew that God wanted, desired, required sacrifices in the Old Testament. But we know that the blood of goats and sheep does not completely satisfy God. And Jesus, who was with God at the creation of the earth, can you imagine this? Jesus, being a spirit,
He elbowed God and said, God, what's happening down there on earth is not pleasing you at all. He said, send me. And if you think about this, I don't want to send my son to be sacrificed for him. If you think about this from a carnal minded, Jesus said, send me. God, and he sent them. And when he sent them, Jesus was about the business of God. They tell us in the scriptures, Jesus was speaking in the synagogues around the age of 12. We see all the miracles that Jesus done. We saw how Jesus handled those that were so spiritually minded, he had to humble them. He spoke to them in certain ways, you vipers. But we also saw the empathy of God with the woman at the well. We saw the various. But everything that Jesus did was to reconcile us back to the Father and for us to be able to see ourselves for what we are. You have that opportunity today to be connected through God, the creator of this earth, through Jesus Christ. If you grab any brethren that's here, if you read the scriptures, you got to just hear the word of God. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is who he say that he is. We have to turn away from the way that we live. The reprobate mind that many of us have. Because there is no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus is it. That's all we need. Admit God's satiety. We got to confess the sweetest name on earth. And we have to be baptized, a watery grave of baptism. We know after Jesus rose, spent 3 days in the tomb, and he returned back. And if we think about how God loved his servants on earth, the Bible tells us that God took Moses and he buried him himself. We can see where Enoch never tasted death. We can say where Elijah came and they help me out, Brother Mark. In a chariot. And then you have some people out there have the audacity to say, well, we know where Jesus is buried. Well, when Jesus came back, and he visited, seen by over 500 brethren, came back to his apostles. Thomas, wasn't there that first Sunday that he was there, but Thomas came and called him Didymus that second Sunday. And Jesus made himself available to him. And he showed him the imprints in his hand and on his feet. That tells me that Jesus was still had the flesh with him, Brother George. So if somebody tells me that Jesus is buried and they're looking for him, I have to take them back to the scriptures. And then what did Thomas say? My God, my Lord, and my God. And Jesus said, blessed to you, Didymus, because you've seen, right, and believe. But even more blessed to those that have not seen and they believe. The message is yours. We pray that what was shared with you today is an understanding that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's not get into entanglements with those that are carnal minded about our Jesus Christ. But let's make sure that others know about God and his sending his son for his sacrifice through the interactions, through the teachings. Because if we can get a sliver of someone that says there's something that's there, we have enough scripture right here to make them into believers. Thank you for this opportunity. It's time to speak before you, Brother Mark. Time is yours.
As I listened to that lesson, it made me think that I am so glad that I obeyed the gospel, because it made me think about the nut that I was before I obeyed the gospel. You know, and one of those things, it just made me think about how the devil used to push certain buttons and get reactions out of me. You know, and one of them, because like Darren touched on it today, he said, don't talk about my daddy. To me, my daddy was like Superman was to other people. My dad to beat Superman. you know, in my mind. But don't say nothing about my mama. If you say your mama, it's going to take five people in here to pull me off you. That's the, and the, it's almost like the devil would say, you want to see him lose his mind? Watch this. Your mother. And he can go crazy. And I'm crazy. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm so happy I obeyed the gospel because Jesus changed the response to the pushing of those buttons. You know, you could, the devil can't push those buttons out of me today and get the same responses that he did because now I have Christ in my life. And I'm sitting there as Darren was saying that. Talking about, what you say? I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I obeyed the gospel. Amen. And look, we encourage anyone who has not obeyed the gospel to please obey this gospel today. And those of us that have obeyed the gospel, let's pray for one another, keep each other in prayer as the Bible instructs us to do, and continue to encourage and strengthen one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us sing the song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.